Ungoliant is one of the most frightening and mysterious characters in Tolkien's legendarium. But who is she and how powerful is she? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we cover the best in fantasy and science fiction books and TV shows in nerdy detail. The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire, The Witcher, and more. If you're new here, welcome. Ungoliant only really appears for one small section of the Silmarillion, but such is her impact and the legacy of her actions that many rate her as one of the most powerful beings ever on Middle-earth. We are introduced to Ungoliant at the end of the Years of the Trees, just before the first dawn of the First Age. Indeed, her actions usher in the First Age. Morgoth, the original antagonist of Tolkien's creation, had been released from his bonds and was plotting his revenge on the Valar. He decided that he would do that by destroying the two trees of Valinor. These were not just a light source for the Valar, but their way of nourishing the world and the people in it. The light they gave off was hallowed and enriching. Destroying the trees would hurt them and damage what they considered to be their role in the world. However, Morgoth clearly decided that the task was beyond him alone, so he journeyed to where Ungoliant had her lair and tempted her into helping him. If, after all was done, she wanted more, he would give her whatever she wanted, with both hands, he promised, and she agreed. The two of them journeyed into Valinor. Morgoth timed their assault for when there was a great feast, and the Valar and their Maiar and the elves were all occupied. But still Ungoliant cast about them a web of darkness, or, well, more than darkness. This is how it is described in the Silmarillion. A cloak of darkness she wove about them when Melkor and Ungoliant sent forth, an unlight in which things seemed to be no more, and which eyes could not pierce, for it was void. An unlight makes Ungoliant almost a thematic opposite to the trees themselves, or the creator of light himself. Scary stuff, but there is more, because when they reach the two trees, this happens. The unlight of Ungoliant rose up even to the roots of the trees, and Melkor sprang upon the mound, and with his black spear he smote each tree to its core, wounded them deep, and their sap poured forth as if it were their blood, and was spilled upon the ground. But Ungoliant sucked it up, and going then from tree to tree, she set her black beak to their wounds till they were drained, and the poison of death that was in her went into their tissues and withered them, root, branch, and leaf, and they died. And still she thirsted, and going to the wells of Varda, she drank them dry. But Ungoliant belched forth black vapours as she drank, and swelled to a shape so vast and hideous that Melkor was afraid. There is a lot to unpack in that quote, but it's clear that although Morgoth, Melkor, could wound the two trees, he needed Ungoliant to destroy them with her poison of death or drain them. And as she drained the trees, she grew more powerful. So powerful, in fact, that even Morgoth was afraid of her. And this is probably the scariest part of her power. The more she consumed, the more powerful she gets, the hungrier she becomes. If she were not stopped, who knows where it might have ended. Anyway, Morgoth and Ungoliant fled, and Ungoliant hid their escape with her unlight. We read on that, so soon as any came up with the cloud of Ungoliant, the riders of the Valar were blinded and dismayed, and they were scattered, and went they knew not whither. And Tulkas was as one caught in a black net at night, and he stood powerless and beat the air in vain. So not even Tulkas, the Valar, could penetrate that unlight. At which point, Morgoth was starting to realise that he may have underestimated Ungoliant, for despite draining the light and life of both of the two trees, she was still hungry, and he had promised to give her whatever she wanted. He tried to satiate her with some random jewels he had stolen, but she wanted the Silmarils, which he had also taken, which contained the last light of the two trees. Morgoth refused. She attacked him, and it seems would have taken the Silmarils, and perhaps even destroyed him if they hadn't been so close to Angband, his old fortress. He let out a cry so loud it shook the mountains, and Balrogs, plural, rushed out to aid him. Ungoliant fled and left the pages of history. She set up home in a dark valley populated by evil spider creatures, mated with them and devoured them. She headed on into the Forgotten South, and, though no tale is told of her fate, the Silmarillion speculates that she ended long ago, when in her uttermost famine she devoured herself at last. We'll come back to her end in a bit, because I think Tolkien is trying to tell us something important there, but let's backtrack to who she is, because it's not 100% clear. The Silmarillion speculates that the Eldar knew not whence she came, but some have said that in ages long before she descended from the darkness that lies about Arda, when Melkor first looked down in envy upon the kingdom of Manwë, and that in the beginning she was one of those that he corrupted to his service. But she had disowned her master, desiring to be a mistress of her own lust, taking all things to herself to feed her emptiness. Which would make her one of the Ainur, perhaps a powerful Maia like Sauron, but one with unique powers. An earlier version of the story, found in the Book of Lost Tales, has her origin even more mysterious, in that even the Valar didn't know who or what she was, and she's described as being a primeval spirit of night, bred in the dark of the void. In other words, an anomaly, not easily fitting into the usual categories of beings in the Legendarium. Later accounts in the history of Middle-earth place her more explicitly as one of Morgoth's servants. Personally, I quite like how Christopher Tolkien decided against a strong categorization in the Silmarillion. It keeps the mystery. Tolkien does this kind of thing a lot, of course. Another good example is Tom Bombadil, who he resisted defining but clearly felt was important to his world. The mystery is part of the fear around Ungoliant. We're afraid of what we don't know about her as much as what we do. Tolkien knew this well. What we do know about her is scary enough, creating that unlight so dark and dispiriting that even the Valar can't see through it, being able to drain power and light seemingly without limit and grow in strength as she does so until even Morgoth feared her. Granted, Morgoth was weakened at the time, and an unspecified number of Balrogs joining forces could chase her off, but this is high-level stuff indeed. So although we don't know for sure exactly what Ungoliant was, she was probably some sort of Ainu who fell with Morgoth but left his service, but we can't be sure, we can see her powers and we can also see her heart. Unlike, say, Sauron, whose motivation developed into wanting to rule and control all, Ungoliant seems not to have had such lofty ambitions. The main thing which seems to drive her is simple, selfish greed. She was tempted to help Morgoth by the promise of all she wanted, drinking hungrily and devouring all she could. Which brings me to her end, because this is classic Tolkien. Evil is so often the author of its own doom, and Ungoliant is probably the most straightforward example of this. The being whose hunger and greed drove everything ultimately devoured herself. And the ironies continue deep into Ungoliant's legacy. Shelob, who Frodo and Sam encounter in The Lord of the Rings, is Ungoliant's last remaining child. You'll remember that Shelob was driven back and defeated by the light of the Fire of Galadriel. That light was the reflection of the light from the Star of Eärendil, one of the Silmarils that Ungoliant had tried to devour, and holder of the last light of the Two Trees of Valinor that Ungoliant had devoured. The thing Ungoliant had desired most had become the downfall of her last daughter. Light and darkness are huge themes throughout the Legendarium. Light is almost always good and darkness bad, and Ungoliant is the greatest embodiment of not just darkness, but unlight, anti-light. and her story is the embodiment of light versus darkness. Ungoliant destroying the two trees of Valinor cast the world into darkness. Galadriel gave Frodo a reflection of the last light of those trees. A light in dark places for when all other lights go out, she said, and that defeated the last child of Ungoliant. The symmetry is intentional. As is the truth that as long as one small file of light exists, light will always conquer darkness. If you'd like more videos diving deep into Tolkien's Legendarium, then please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. The best way to do that is by clicking on the Patreon link on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.